right, for those of you who don't know me, I know probably most of you, but my name's Josh. It's probably been about 4.5 years since I've been at Night Church. Just recently gone out to Jordan Springs, and before that was Morning Church. So yeah, it's been a while. It's good to be back, and yeah, it's good that I have an opportunity to come and share this with you. So usefulness. So before I start and launch into the verse, I just thought I'd just give a really brief context of the book of 2 Timothy. So Timothy was he was mentored by Paul, and he was also Paul's travelling companion and co-worker. And Paul left Timothy in Ephesus for a couple of reasons. And Timothy was in Ephesus at the time of this letter being written. And the two reasons that Paul had left him there was, firstly, was to build up like a leadership and a teaching group of faithful men who would be able to teach the church and lead them. The other purpose was there were a lot of people within the church who were starting to divert from the gospel, and Timothy's job was to command those people to stop teaching because they were doing a lot of damage. So with that in mind, these verses are probably sort of written more specifically towards Timothy and those people who were given the job of leading the church, but we can definitely draw a lot of good conclusions from that for all of us here. So the picture drawn here is of a lavish dinner party. You walk in to a nice dinner party, beautifully set out table, all those sort of, yeah, start thinking of those pictures. Now, we'll start reading the verses, and I'll just focus on verse 20 at first. So, verse 20. Now, in a great house, sorry, this is from the ESV, it will sound a little bit different to the one we just read, but it says almost the same thing. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honourable use, some for dishonourable. Now, when I first came to this verse, and maybe you might have also drawn the same conclusion initially, that when it's talking about all the different vessels there, the gold and silver and the wood and clay, you might have already made the distinction that the gold and silver for honourable and the wood and clay for dishonourable. But when I've read and looked at this a little bit further, I've come to the conclusion that rather than them, you know, being honourable versus dishonourable, these are all honourable, but they have their specific purpose. And it's kind of referring to, yeah, a number of variety of gifts and different things. So, but at the heart of these vessels is service. They all have a purpose. They're all there to serve the guests that come to the house, well, and the host. And for us as Christians, we are also called to serve God and to build his church. So in Ephesians 2, verse 18, I'm sure a lot of you heard these verses. It's clear that while we don't work to gain any favour with God, we don't, you know, do good works to gain our salvation, it's because we are saved and because of this grace that we do good works. God has prepared good works for us that we should walk in them. So, i.e. we should serve him and build a church. All right, so now looking at this picture here. So again, this is more, I guess, a modern time comparison of gold and silver and wood and clay and things like that. I mean, if you walk into a nice dinner or whatever, you might look at all this, you know, the nicely laid out table, and you would give compliments on how beautiful this table is set. But rarely would you give compliments on the frying pan, even though it is very useful and certainly very honourable. But as I mentioned before, these vessels have a purpose, and that is to serve for service. And I think they're describing all the different gifts and talents that we have amongst the church in body of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about all of these various gifts and that God has given us, and we all have a purpose among the church in our own ways. So I like to sort of compare that in one way to the preaching or leadership ministries. They're the ones, the ministries often seem a little bit more noticeable to a greater audience because they're up front. and all that. So like very much like this nice table here with all the utensils and everything that's laid out. But what about ministries of people who are just so good at encouraging, that just, you know, after church they get alongside people, they ask how your week's going, they encourage you and they spur you on. That may be not so as noticeable as what, you know, preaching is like to a greater audience, but it is still no less significant and no less important, and it's still very honourable ministry. So again, looking at the humble frying pan is really not so humble, and in fact, for me, I love cooking, and to me, this is the star of the kitchen for me, because I love cooking in the frying pan, I love cooking food, and I love bringing out nice food to my guests and serve them on nice plates. So all of these vessels are important and useful. Now, when you first get a non-stick frying pan, like this one, now, this is a scan pan. And I don't know if anyone knows, well, I'm sure some of you know about scan pans, but they are a very good pan. They're not cheap. And, I mean, they must be good because they're a MasterChef. So they're very good pans. And when we first got this, it was kind of a bit like that, you know. Very good relationship with the... Very nice to cook with. Cooked nice meals. But over time, the surface just got a little bit scratched, and then we started getting a build-up of food, which was really hard to clean off. Like, you just can't use scours on them, otherwise it just damages even further, and you can't use harsh chemicals again because it damages even further, and it's not non-stick anymore. And because it's not non-stick, the food tends to burn, and that goes through your food, and it's just not nice. It's just not easy to cook with, and it's not nice. So what once was useful and fit for its intended purpose has now become a camp stove that all it's good for is spam and eggs when you go camping. Certainly still useful in a way, but it's no longer useful for its intended purpose. So now we come to verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonourable, he will be a vessel for honourable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And I think the emphasis on what it's saying here about being an honourable vessel is it needs to be clean. So unlike this scan pan here, which was a very expensive one, it's no longer good because it's got a lot of build-up. If I was able to clean that, it would then become useful again. Coming back to the verse. If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonourable, he will be a vessel for honourable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So again, if I could clean that, it would become useful again. So when it's talking about dishonourable, what is it talking about? And it took me a little while to come to a conclusion as to exactly what this passage was saying was dishonourable. But when we start looking around in the context of the verses in 2 Timothy 2, it's starting to talk about these false teachers and their irreverent babble. And yeah, just after these verses, it's Paul's encouraging Timothy, you know, not to get caught up with this, you know, flee youthful passions and, yeah, not get caught up in this irreverent babble, because it just, basically, it just created controversy and separation within the church. So, yeah. Now, 1 Timothy 6, chapter 3:10 kind of mirrors this passage as well a bit about the false teachers, and it kind of expands on that just a little bit more, I think. So it's saying that these false teachers had an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels, leading to envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among the people. And they tend to use this pretentious godliness for their own gain, like often to appear more superior than others. So you can kind of picture, even I'm sure with the Pharisees in Jesus' day, is that kind of fake godliness just for them to look better than anyone else. The verse also talks about, you know, having a desire to be rich will just lead into temptation. And one of the famous verses, often misquoted a little bit, about the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So, you know, these false teachers, they tend to have this one sort of main, you know, trait. And it was this: it's all about me, 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 me. It's an inward focus. They weren't concerned about other people. It was about making themselves look good, and they just craved just having, you know, conflict. And instead of building up the church, they were just tearing it apart. So now, if we just really quickly touch on Philippians 2, 1 to 8. Some of you probably know most of this. We sing part of it in a song, Highest Place. But the first part of it, so I'm not going to read it all, but first part talks about, Paul's wish for the church was to be unified and have the same mind. So it's a sense of unity and togetherness. And then it goes on to say, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So I think that is opposite to what these false teachers were doing. So it says, do nothing from selfish ambition, but count others more significant than yourselves. And I like in verse 4, I think it really shows quite a balanced view of humility in that it says, let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So it's not saying, just forget about yourselves, just deny your own needs, and just focus on others. It's saying, take care of yourself as well, because you need to do that to be able to function. But it's more of, don't let that become in excess, and look out for those around you. So, and the rest of the passage I got is the example of Christ, who is our King and leader, who he was equal with God and come down as a man. So he was immortal, took on the form of a mortal man, and even lowered himself even further to point a death on the cross for the rest of us. If we want to be more useful in service to God, we must have a less of an inward focus, more of an outward focus. But I think more importantly, we need more of an upward focus. So this is the inward versus upward focus here. So Galatians 5:16 to 25. So most of you will heard some of these passage anyway, but it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And, if we have more of an upward focus where we draw in close to God, we allow the Spirit to influence our lives greater, and so we can be more useful. And when it talks about in verse 22, the fruit of Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It gives an idea that all of these things that the Spirit is doing through us is for the greater good of others. It's not tearing apart. It's building each other up. It's kindness, it's goodness. It's being nice to each other. So it's more of an outward focus, and this allows us to build. So having this upward focus allows the Spirit to work through us, so we can have more of an outward focus to serve God and to build up the kingdom of God. So, what are some things that we can do to get more of an upward focus? Well, it's just like any other kind of relationship. When we relate to our relationship with God, the more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know them, the deeper that relationship gets, and the more they start to influence you and you them. But in this case with God, he starts to influence us. So reading God's word, prayer, meeting regularly with his people, and more than just reading God's word as well, it's putting it all into practice and striving to do what the word of God says, and to think about this, about what God is saying to you more. So all these kind of things will help us have more of an upward focus rather than an inward focus. And then in turn will allow us to have more of an outward focus to those around us. To wrap it up. So firstly, we are all vessels in God's house to be used for his purpose. And allowing ourselves to become inward focused limits our usability in this purpose. We must fix our minds on things above and allow the Spirit to work through us. And this will help us to be more outward focused, empowers us to unify and build the body of Christ, and rather than tear it down.